order. There we go.
Okay. Call to order this meeting. We stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Public comment. Does anyone want to comment on this particular agenda? No? Okay, we'll continue.
I'd like to motion that we approve the minutes for whatever month.
Last month.
Last month, July 14th.
It's July? Okay.
Yeah, July 14th.
You were here.
I was. I just remember what month it was.
Do we have a second?
You don't need a second.
Okay. Let's just...
Call for a vote.
Call for a vote?
Aye.
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 I'd like to make a motion that we approve the agenda.
I do need to make a request. I move that we move Valley Electric on the informational items to first at their request.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 I'd like to make a motion that we approve the agenda for tonight.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Can we receive a report for Valley Electric?
Thank you very much for moving me to the back. I've kind of been under the weather for the last week, so how long I can last. Obviously, we have the virtual election, and I am your director for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting that all of the bylaws that, I don't know if you all saw the changes, but they were approved unanimously, but it's very frustrating to me. We have 1,000 possible our members, and we only have 90 votes out here. The overall, we have a total of 24,000 members, and so District 6, they have around 6,000, 7,000 members, and only 1,200 even voted. So, and it just costs so much money. I don't think people realize as members, and then when we don't even, go on, it was virtual. We could just go and submit it online. But so I think that's something that we can all, next year, hopefully it'll change. So some of the members for change, I don't know if any of you are familiar with that group. I think there's two members now, but they were the ones who brought a lot of attention to 2017-2018. They have requested that we go again with bylaw changes for two. They want us to redistrict so that Pahrump has three directors instead of two. So what they had proposed was Amargosa, Beatty, and Fish Lake all become one, which I can just imagine what the members felt. They're saying no way. So I know that VA, their mapping department, is putting together several. It also came up that maybe Sandy Valley could become a part of South Pahrump. And when I talked to several members, they said no, we want our own. We're not part of Pahrump. I mean, we're different out here. So I'll let you know what they end up
the hotspots didn't have a limited...
No, we thought, MEA thought that the school district was doing that. And the school district didn't have the firewall set up like that, so...
Because I know we were telling them there's only one gig, you have to be careful of your usage, when we were deploying them.
Right, but I guess they figured out that that wasn't maybe the case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
Well, the thing was on internet, the other is all not surprised.
So, but we were going to be able to help, so... Any other questions at all? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to go ahead.
Not a problem. Okay, can we receive a report from the Sandy Valley Fire Department?
Good evening, Ken Smith, Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department. Month of July, we ended up with 12 medical calls, one motor vehicle accident, and a surprising 9 brush fire callouts. And that's only gotten worse. A lot of everything that we've been responding to on the brush fires, not so much within the community, it's been in the Sloan area, the shooting areas. We did have one of our trucks got deployed up to the Cottonwood Pass fire up there off of 160. That was the one everyone kept calling in back behind Good Springs. It looked like it was just outside of Good Springs, it was actually up by 160. Short of that, we have some recognition from the state of Nevada through Nevada State Firefighters Association. Nevada State Firefighters Association is a group that represents firefighters within the state of Nevada, mostly speaking up for the volunteer services and giving them that voice in the legislature and things like that. This year, when going through, they decided that the Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department would be the Fire Department of the Year for the state of Nevada. It's a little deceptive with the 1920, it's just because it's 2019 to 2020. But we have, we were actually scheduled to have this presentation done to us with the county commissioner on the 4th of July, but things kind of went sideways, and so I think we have on the 18th at 9 a.m. there'll be a formal presentation now.
The county commission will be presenting a proclamation in recognition of this award. And if any of you get Commissioner Jones's district of newsletter, the fire department, the volunteer fire department, was our fabulous resident of the month.
And you were on the front page of Happening.
Oh, yeah, I honestly can't say enough about the folks in the station next door. It's, I know it doesn't seem like you see them out there a whole lot, but when that radio starts squawking, these guys are going out, they're taking care of business, they come right back. They're not standing there waiting for someone to pat them on the back, so you don't see them a whole lot. And I think that's the wonderful thing. It's just the selfless, the giving. But thank you all. Questions?
Are you guys going to have another conference? Are you going to get your conference rescheduled, or no? Do you lose?
We have, this year's camp conference ended up getting canceled.
Yeah.
So next year is up in northern Nevada. I want to say...
I can't remember.
It's going to be in June, though. So it got pushed off this year. Just they had canceled all the way around. We're actually going to be doing the host city in June. We had everything set up, and then with COVID, it just all fell apart. So we haven't been able to get this to reschedule this year, so we have to wait till next.
I have to say, this morning there was a car accident right up here at the intersection.
Yes.
And I was here in the office and heard it happen and went out and called 911, and Christine and Henry came and kicked ass. They were amazing. I've never gotten to see them do their so proud. We had a, at the same time, there was a couple out here looking for property. They're moving here from Pennsylvania, and they're looking for property in the area, and they stopped to help because he has EMT and fire training from the Coast Guard. And it was so awesome for them to see firsthand how amazing this community is and what amazing volunteers we have right there in action. So it was, I was so proud to be part of the community and have them.
Are they okay?
The cars were pretty smashed up. They both walked away, and neither one wanted to be transported to the hospital. But I'm thinking they might regret it tomorrow or the next day.
Sure.
Thank you, they're walking across the walk away from the good one.
Yeah, they were both hurting. So I'm thinking the next couple of days before they're set up.
Well, and honestly, she thought to do save lives. They were really good.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Was this morning you had to visit the closest call you had from your fire department before?
I can't hear you. Say that one more time.
Was this morning's crash the closest you were able to, the closest you've ever come for a call from your department? Or
no, almost.
Okay. We've met people at the fire station.
Oh, wow.
And there was a time where we were at, I know for me, I was at the park. So there was a broken arm right out at the park, right outside the fire station.
And it just happened when I came by and I saw the fire truck. It's like, wow, and I just went, phew, right across the street.
3 years ago, on the 4th of July, we actually had somebody black out from the heat right outside of the car.
All right.
Thank you much.
All right. Thank you.
I saw the cars after everybody left.
Okay, did we get a receive a report from Metro?
Don't trust somebody's turn sheet.
Hey, everybody. Turn sheet with Metro. As much as it pains me to give any recognition to the hose draggers, congratulations to the fire. I will say this. We have the county fire department radios in our trucks, and I'll tell you right now, you guys get the best service out of any of the other rural communities and fire departments. Other volunteer fire departments are rarely ever available like your guys are. They do work with butts off. So, as far as Metro is concerned, nothing significant going on crime-wise in Sandy Valley. Call statistics seem to remain pretty steady, steadily normal, back to pretty much pre-COVID numbers, about 30 a month. Other than that, I don't really have anything to add. Did anyone have any questions or concerns they wanted to bring up to me? No? Awesome. Thanks for taking it easy on me. I'll be in the back if you have any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian, do you think we could do the principal last? And just get everything else out of the way?
Will we need to change the agenda? Or?
No, we can switch it around. Right, doesn't that make sense? I mean, it's your meeting, guys, but
that means this meeting's gonna be quick.
Okay, you're gonna be quick?
Yeah, I'll be quick.
Okay, then we'll take that one out of we'll take you out of
order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And you're gonna want to hear my report because I have the best things that I've ever brought to the meeting.
Well, yay.
So the agreement for Sandy Valley Road has been signed by BLM and the county.
The agreement we've been working on for 19
down to 19 feet, and so we got that worked out. They got an administrative waiver to be able to adjust that, and that was the last thing we needed for the offsite improvement. So those permits should be moving along here pretty quickly.
What was that for?
Family Dollar.
Oh, Family Dollar.
Thank you.
Thank you. See, now, aren't you glad I didn't think you were?
Good job.
I am disappointed at the enthusiasm.
Okay, let's turn it over to the Sandy Valley Schools, get a report.
All right, Mr. Hidalgo, you want to just double check, make sure it sounds good?
Good evening, back check.
Good.
Good job.
You're good.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having me on this evening. I do apologize that I am home. I did catch something this weekend, and I don't know if it's the flu or COVID or what, but I am forced to stay home for 10 days now, which is very difficult for me, but I would have preferred to be there in person, but I don't want to make anybody sick as well. So, again, thank you for having me. I wanted to spend a few minutes. Is that Brian? Okay, I can just see your face. All right. I want to spend a few minutes talking about this year and how we're going to start off the year specifically. I do know there are a lot of concerns in the community and questions as to why we are starting the year off virtually as a rural school. And for those of you that don't know, Good Springs is opening full-time come August 24th. And I just wanted to share with you, first of all, again, some of those reasons so the community can understand as to why we did that. Let me just briefly talk about Good Springs, if I might, just a few minutes, and then I'll get into Sandy Valley. So one of the criteria that the Board of Trustees at the end of July put forward is rural schools had the option of opening full-time if the COVID levels were low enough, number one, and number two, if the school can put a plan forward, a proposed plan, and get it approved by the superintendent and by the board. So at Good Springs, we do have five staff members there, and every single staff member wanted to go back to work full-time. So we submitted a proposal. Right now there's 12 students there, lucky kiddos, because you're looking at almost a 2-to-1 ratio for those kids that are showing up. At Sandy Valley, I did a survey when we started up in the middle of, well, it wasn't the middle, it was a couple of days after the board met in July, and I put a survey again, and the staff, 38.5% of the staff did not want to come to work with students because they feared for the safety of themselves or the safety of those that, you know, might be at home, you know, a relative, an elderly family member, etc. So with that said, with 38.5% of the staff not being comfortable with students, I could not open the school. And essentially, it comes down to that. It's as simple as that. We can't teach kids if there's not staff there. So as much as we wanted to bring the kids back, that was my intention. After the board did approve that, it just kind of fell apart simply when staff said, hey, we're not comfortable at this point. So I have to respect that. As a community, we do have to respect that. You know, as difficult as it is at times, because it is obvious how difficult it is for families, to be there, specifically parents with these students during the day and, help them through schoolwork. So I just wanted to share that. Do you guys have any questions about that before I move forward? There's a couple other things I'd like to share as well, but I just wanted to make clear as to why we were going virtually. Okay, so any questions, Brian? If not, so, I'll move forward with this.
So I just muted you because we were getting some feedback with our mic. So I'll turn you back this way, and if anybody has questions, I'll unmute, let them ask questions, and then mute it so you can answer.
Yeah, just interrupt me.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. All right, so just kind of explain in a nutshell.
Hold on one second.
That 38% isn't even a majority, so how was that decision made if it's not a majority?
Can you hear that question?
I did.
Okay.
Great question for asking. One of the pieces that I didn't mention that's important to this is when the board met, they gave teachers and support staff the option of working from home this year or working on campus. Or I shouldn't say this year, for now. They're doing a 30-day review. Every 30 days, the district's, the board's meeting, and they're looking into whether or not we can open up as a district. So with that said, again, when they gave the teachers and support staff the option of being on campus or telecommuting from home or wherever they are, we're stuck with that option. So if 38% of teachers and staff said, no, I'm not comfortable, I couldn't force them because the board made that call and, it was approved and everybody's having to make those adjustments. Right now, the only staff that is required to be there even during these circumstances are what I call my essential personnel. We need to keep things running, so I have my office manager there. Ellie is there. Thank you, Ellie. A couple of other office specialists, our custodial staff's there. We do have security that's showing up to work because they can't do their duties from home, obviously. But everybody else, per the board of CCSD, has the option, again, if they want to telecommute or if they want to be on campus. And that's a day-to-day thing, by the way. So even though it wasn't the majority, just to give you an example, if we were to open school and I didn't have a second and fifth grader teacher, because again, they had the option of telecommuting, how would I have those second and fifth graders report to school? We don't have, other staff that can cover those classes. So it was an all or none type thing at this point. And again, with almost 4 out of 10 people saying they're not comfortable, we couldn't open the school.
Okay, you got another question.
Sure.
It's my understanding that the kids can still get breakfast and lunch 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Is that correct?
Great question. That was my next item. We talked about food services. So I did have a meeting this morning with the district leadership, and they're waiting for a waiver from the Department of Agriculture. And essentially, there's two options that they're looking at. One is keep serving food out front of the school at Sandy Valley 5 days a week. The other option that they're looking at, and again, none of these have been approved, so they're waiting for that, should be within the week, is that students can come on campus and get their food in the cafeteria and take it home. So that's what we're looking at now. But because our school feeds everybody for free, I don't anticipate that anybody's going to have to pay. Don't hold me to that, but it's a high probability that we're going to continue that way. We're also going to continue serving two meals at the time students come with their parents, to pick up food. So we're open, let's say, from 8 to 11. I don't know the exact hours right now. I think they just switched a little while ago. But in the morning, when somebody comes and picks up food, they're picking up lunch, and they're also picking up breakfast at that time for the day. But there is no plans on shutting this down. Matter of fact, they're trying to expand it to 300 and some food sites around Clark County School District. And Sandy Valley, of course, is one of them that's going to stay open. Okay, great. Any other questions? Okay, perfect. Plans moving forward, I just, again, want to reiterate that Board of Trustees is going to do a review every 30 days. If at some point our staff does make the decision that, you know, the overwhelming majority wants to come back, I could submit a proposal. You know, we'll deal with that when we get there. I don't think that that's going to happen anytime soon. And I'll tell you why, because the majority of our teachers now are staying home, working from their household at this time. So I know there's a lot of fear, you know, regarding COVID and health issues at this time with our staff. Now, without sounding too...
You've got one question.
It's not really a question, sure. It's a statement. I might want to let the staff know that there have been 3 cases in Sandy Valley that have been documented, all of them adults. None of them passed it on to anybody else, and no child has ever had it. So their fear is really kind of unfounded. They're safer out here than they are in town.
All right. He didn't have a question. It was just a statement.
I heard it. No, I did hear it, Brian. And I agree, sir, whoever said that. You know, but like I said, at the end of the day, the board gave staff the autonomy to do that. And, you know, it's out of my hands, out of any principal's hand at this point. And it's just the board. You know, the board made that call, and we have to move forward with what they decided and approved, whether we like it or not.
Oh, we've got another question.
You know, the way that the school is, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't really know, but the way that the school is set up is that you have kindergarten through 12 on one campus. That's not the way it is in Las Vegas. You know, you have a separate elementary, you have separate high, and you have a separate high school. So if you could, in your mind, divide that for us also, and let's say all of your elementary school teachers want to come back, but not the high school teachers, can you just have elementary school in person and let the high school be virtual, or junior high, or any of those teachers that feel that they're uncomfortable coming back?
Great question. Initially, after the survey, that's what we looked into specifically to see if we can open up any of the schools. So elementary, you know, I was really hoping that we could open our elementary school, because that's, you know, that's where the learning has to continue if kids are going to be successful, you know, moving into secondary grade levels. But we did look into that, and we didn't have enough staff at every level to propose opening individual schools. But great question. Okay. Great. I'll go ahead and move on. You know, I did hear Valley Electric talk about the hotspot issue, and they're 100% correct. I did communicate with Nate Johnson, the vice president there of broadband. Matter of fact, today, he reached out and offered his assistance. And what we're looking at now is, I believe the district has allocated $26 million to help those families that don't have Wi-Fi or can't afford Wi-Fi. What we're looking at out here again is hotspots. I've communicated with the director of technology in the district, specifically in regards to Sandy Valley needs. We sent a survey out. The district sent a survey first to families. We didn't get a lot of responses on that. And so I sent a separate survey out on behalf of the school. We got more responses, and then for those parents that didn't respond, we then reached out and we made phone calls. Based on that information, we compiled a list of families that do not have access to Wi-Fi so they can engage in virtual learning. That list, with student ID numbers, names, household addresses, information, was sent up the chain again. Director of Technology, and he let me know that he's well aware of it, and he has us on a list to receive hotspots from the district again. And I did let him know that Verizon is the best service out here, and you know, to not consider I think I said Verizon and AT&T, if I remember correctly. Don't consider anything else because it would be too spotty out here in this community. So he's aware of that and haven't heard anything back, quite frankly. It's been about a week and a half, but I know that they're working diligently on it. Again, as I had a meeting this morning with district leadership, and that was one of the agenda items that they mentioned. So that's where we are with Wi-Fi, data technology. Any questions on that? Okay, perfect. I do briefly want to mention when I did show up to this DAC meeting at the beginning of last year, it was right around this time, so a year ago, I did talk about the plans for Sandy Valley. So I do want to touch base on that because I did promise a lot. I want to share with you what's happening there. I did share with you that we had planned on doing an internship program for our juniors and senior, in town, or have a relationship with Terrible's moving forward, and those businesses in Prim as well. Obviously, because COVID, those plans have gone down the drain for now, at least temporarily, and so we weren't able to do that. I also talked about bringing another career and tech ed program for those kids that aren't interested in college. I talked about welding, talked about mechanical technologies, kids can work on large equipment. I had been pursuing that, and up until the middle of March, we had plans on moving forward with that, but we did not have any teachers apply for the position at that point. Once COVID hit, everything got shut down. We essentially stopped that plan for now because we knew major budget cuts were coming, which they are. So that's been put on hold, but that's still a part of my midterm plan now. It was part of my short-term plan, offer that to the community and the students at Sandy Valley High School. But because of COVID, we had to postpone that. So I will give an update. I'm hoping to get something in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we were promised, as far as budget. But we do know that there's going to be budget cuts throughout the district, and they're supposed to be pretty deep cuts. So with that said, I want to make sure that we can retain our staff. You know, we do have some really amazing staff members. I mean, there's three there that I know of. I heard Randy's voice, you know, Mr. Carey, and Ali's there. And we have plenty of amazing staff there. The last thing I want to do is have to let go of any staff because of budget cuts. So my goal moving forward is to ensure that we take care of our staff so don't have to go and look for other jobs. I know, you know, Randy's in a unique situation because he's not paid for by the school. He's paid for by the district. But Mr. Carey and Ellie and others are paid for by the school budget. We do plan on having a football team, so I'm going to switch it over to sports now, if I may. I know, you know, Brian and Brett Kramer, our head football coach, started working the kids out this summer. Got all new equipment for the kiddos, $450 helmets. It was essentially some of the best helmets that we were able to find and protect our kids. And again, they shut down athletics, what was that, end of July, correct?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we were only in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so they shut down athletics district-wide, and right now the tentative plan moving forward is that fall sports do start on January 2nd. Again, that's tentative.
It's going to be winter. Winter sports will be first.
Yes, thank you. So winter sports do start January 2nd. Thank you. I spoke there. Appreciate that. Any questions on sports? Okay, great. That's all I have. If anybody has any questions, again, feel free to ask. I just wanted to be, you know, here available to address any questions and concerns you had, and again, explain specifically why we didn't open up.
Okay.
Why we could not open up.
Okay, with the virtual classes, are they, I know they're going to be 5 days a week, or 4 days a week, or 5 days a week?
Thank you. So, we're Monday through Thursday, so virtually we're going to be Monday through Thursday. There's not going to be any change there. Every school has a different schedule, so elementary, obviously they work with their general ed teacher, plus they have what are called specials, where different teachers are going to come on virtually and work with the kids 30 minutes a day. We have all subject areas that are included virtually as well. Middle school, again, the district board of trustees made a decision at the end of July. All middle schools were to go to a 4-period block schedule, year-long semester. So essentially what that means is every 6th, 7th, and 8th grader at Sandy Valley is taking 4 classes this semester. Each class is almost 2 hours long. It's about an hour, a little over an hour and a half, I believe, somewhere about an hour and 35 or so. But in that time frame, from August 24th until winter break, those students are to get a 1-year credit during the semester. In January, when the students come back, they're going to again have 4 classes, but those classes are going to be 4 different classes than what they had first semester. Again, those students are going to, at that time, if we are, whether we're virtually on campus, those students will take those 4 courses per day and get year-long credit. So one of the advantages there is normally our middle school kids would get 6 credits per year. On this plan, every middle school student at Sandy Valley and in the district is going to get 8 credits per year. Some of the advantages to that is we can have kids in English both semesters. We can have students in math both semesters, which was my area of focus for all students, to make sure that they don't, you know, lose those skills, especially virtually. It's very difficult to keep students engaged, and so I wanted to make sure that they had a double dose, if you will, of English and math moving forward. On to the high school. The high school is going to maintain a 6-period schedule. Mondays, they're going to do periods 1, 2, and 3. Tuesdays, periods 4, 5, and 6. And then that schedule is going to repeat Wednesday and Thursday. The reason why I did that is because I believe that 6 periods per day, especially virtually, is very difficult for anybody to organize and manage on a daily basis. And so I wanted to split those up. Student wakes up, parent wakes up with a student. You know, they only have to worry about 3 courses per day. Get on, stay engaged, get their work done, and then the next day they can move on to 3 different classes. So again, a lot easier to manage, especially in a virtual environment, to have that for students. Each day, and this goes for pre-K through 12, is going to consist of a very specific schedule that's been created and approved. That schedule, I'm going to share out probably tomorrow, if not Thursday, to the community, which means I'm going to share it with the parents through a parent link message. And we also have virtual sessions set up for next week, where I have a separate one for elementary, and then for secondary, where we can go over the schedules with students and parents, explain to them exactly what the expectations are, and how to be successful in a virtual environment. Each day is going to consist of what are called synchronous sessions of learning, which means that those lessons are going to be real time, where students are going to be on Chromebooks, because every student is going to receive a Chromebook if they haven't already. We do have some that are coming next week to get those. They're going to be online, on a camera, just like I am now, engaging with their teacher. So each period is going to be about 35 to 45 minutes of teachers and students engaging with each other. And then from there, the teacher is going to let students that understand the material branch off and work independently and get offline if they need to. Or the teacher is going to put students in small groups and have them work together and work alongside with them to ensure that they understand the material on a daily basis. So again, the schedule is going to have what we call synchronous instruction, where students are engaged with the teacher directly, and portions of the day are asynchronous instruction, which means that kids are working on their own or with other students, again, with the teacher monitoring their success. Now, this is the last part of this. For students and parents that cannot get on during the day, well aware of that, I've addressed that with my staff, and I'm going to continue to address it with them so they fully understand how important this is. Obviously, certain students can't get on during the day. Some have to go to work. Some are babysitting. Some have to tend to other things that parents ask them to do, and I get that. So with that said, what's going to happen is every teacher is required to record virtually each of their synchronous, again, direct instruction lessons that they have on a daily basis and post those in a program that we call Canvas. It's a virtual platform that every teacher in the district and students going to be utilizing from this point forward. So if I'm a sixth grade student, let's say, and I had to go into town, or I had to take care of my brothers, or I have to take care of my brothers and my siblings during the day, or I have other things to do. If I don't have the opportunity to get online during the day, I then have the responsibility and the expectation to get online in the afternoon and evening and do the essential work, again, with lessons recorded from the teacher so I can get some guidance there. The lessons are posted, sessions are recorded, and the goal there is that students can get the work done that way and submit it. So hopefully that clarified that, Randy. I'm sure a lot of people have questions on that as well. Again, I go over this with the parents Wednesday and Thursday in an evening session for both days, and I'm going to go over what the schedule's being, which, again, I'm going to share out tomorrow or Thursday when I get my message ready for parents and get that out to them. That's all I have, Brian. I don't know if there's any other questions.
Got a couple questions.
Sure.
We have some parents, are you relying on parents to help students with IEPs? Which I think is a good idea. But you have some parents that don't speak English. And obviously, if they don't speak English, they can't help the kids with things that are in English. So what recommendations have been made for these parents and for these students?
Okay, great question. So the difference between what we did fourth quarter of last year was it was essentially up to all the parents to do the, you know, to hold students accountable to get the work done essentially at home. Again, what we're going to be doing moving forward on August 24th is have teachers available for kiddos during the day. And again, if students aren't able to get online, we're going to post those lessons. For the English language learners that have been identified, teachers still have to create accommodations on each and every lesson for those kiddos. And Brian's well aware of this as well. So those students have been identified. And those students that are new to Sandy Valley, we identify them through the registration process, and we have to assess them within the first 30 days. And at that point, we'll be able to know at which level they are in terms of their abilities with English, you know, different levels. So to answer your question, I mean, that's a a thing that, that teachers are aware of and teachers have been trained on. Matter of fact, last year we did a series of Friday trainings specifically to address the needs of our English language learner students, and we'll continue to do that moving forward.
But hold on, I gotta turn the mic back on.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
How
will parents who don't speak English help with assignments, even though the kids may speak English, but the parents don't?
Okay, so with this new system, I don't anticipate that parents are going to have to do a lot of the teaching like we did fourth quarter. That's a responsibility in the setup that we have moving forward on the part of the teachers.
So, and I'll kind of add from my end, we have other hours that are open office hours as well. So we have our teaching hours. We have the asynchronous time, which we can still meet with students and help those that are struggling. And then we have office hour times. We'll also be able to communicate online, send messages. It's kind of forcing a lot of teachers who haven't been using technology into using it. So there, I think there's going to be a lot more communication that way. The other thing is there's more tools. So in this Canvas program, you can actually click something, and it'll go through and read through the text. So if you have someone who's having a hard time reading it, but they can listen to it while they read, there's a lot of other helps that are going to be in there that some teachers haven't used because they didn't know technology, but we're learning. I'm learning a ton right now as well. So. She was asking about, are they like a child that is has an IEP or with language issues, are they going to get the extra help online? And our just thinking about that, we also have support staff that work with those children in. Those staff are also going to be online. They'll be able to help. They're going to be involved, and they're working with those teachers who have those kids as well.
Yep, I'm a support staff person, and I'll be online working with those kids, giving them support. Okay. And there's in the Canvas platform, there's a lot of that stuff that you can click on down, or if you want Spanish in the subtitles, you can have Spanish. It'll translate for you. So if the teacher's talking and the kids are talking, it'll translate.
That's provided parents can read Spanish.
Right, and we as staff will be available for them. I mean, we're on when we're at work, when our even if we're working from home, our work hours we're at work during that time period. I don't know if
Brian, and let them know if they can hear me. That to reiterate or to piggyback on what you said, every teacher has about an hour of what's called virtual ops hours that Brian mentioned. The sole purpose of that time is to be available for one-on-one tutoring, to be available for parents if they need an explanation or they're confused with the technology and how they can be of help, and just help the families through this process. And again, those hours are on a daily basis. That's something that we haven't done before, and I know that's going to be a significant part of having are helping families moving forward and being successful. The other part is every teacher has 30 minutes to an hour again of what are called wellness check hours or time, wellness check time, because not hours, where what they're going to be doing at that time is spending that entire time reaching out to parents and students and making sure that they have what they need to be able to, you know, to stay on virtually and continue with the lessons. Because we understand that there's a million obstacles. Every family, you know, has a different obstacle. Everybody's unique. And again, I'm pushing my staff to be very open-minded. And if a student is not on Monday, and partially Tuesday, but gets all the work done by Wednesday, you know, with the help of the teachers. Again, looking back on Canvas and seeing all the lessons that were recorded, all the guidance that's there, then that's just the way it is, and teachers are going to give those students full credit for what they've done, even if it's considered late, you know, in terms of a traditional way of doing things.
All right, Ellie?
I just wanted to add, too, we do have a website, sandyvalleyschool.com. There are currently, they might have had me prematurely do this, but there are schedules online on the website. There's also a lot of learning information for parents and for students regarding Canvas, Infinite Campus, if anybody wants to get a head start. And there is a schedule on there also. We are deploying the Chromebooks on Wednesday and Thursday, Wednesday for elementary, Thursday for secondary. And with that, some leftover things from lockers, so if you know parents, let them know. And then, did you want to touch on the activity going on at our site?
Yes, thank you. Okay, so we're ready to move on. So, great news for those that haven't heard. They have officially started the teardown process of our old playground on the Sandy Valley campus to start building the new elementary school. So you guys are excited about that, as well as myself and the staff there. I know it's been a long time coming, but it's finally here, and they're moving forward with it. So the anticipated date of what's called substantial completion is at the end of March. So, again, moving forward, next year, all elementary students will be housed in that brand new elementary school with all new equipment and a new playground for pre-K and kindergarten. And they're also building a new playground on the opposite side of the gym for everybody else. So if you're in the area in the next, I wouldn't go now because they're just starting to fence that off and tear down again the playground and the huge canopy that went over it. But if you're in the area, you know, the next couple of weeks, stop by and take a look. It's pretty neat, and I know all of you will be excited. This is finally happening.
Good.
That's all I have, Brian.
I have a question about the school day going to 5 days, perhaps, after January when school returns. Is that something you've considered to catch up?
No, we're going to maintain 4, and there's a lot of reasons for it, but it's a 2-year approval by the district and the state, which is approved last May again for 2 more years. And there's contractual issues with staff and union issues where we can't just magically go to 5 days, because this was voted and agreed upon specifically or mostly by our teacher union. And so we can't just make those changes moving forward. So we'll continue at least the next 2 years with the 4-day work week and a 4-day school week, Monday through Thursday.
Anybody else?
I think we're all good.
We're good. Thank you.
Hey, everybody, I appreciate your time. And again, my apologies if I sound kind of down, because I'm not feeling very well. But hopefully I answer your questions, and we'll continue to work for you all, continue to do our best with students and your kiddos. And, we're just going to keep learning as a staff. And we're going to be meeting on a daily basis come August 24th and just work out all the kinks and issues so we can be the best of what we do moving forward. But just keep in mind that teachers are spending the next 2 weeks, as they have been the last couple days and then part of last week, learning all the new technology themselves, including that program that Brian mentioned called Canvas. And so there's a huge learning curve for everybody right now. And we've given them that extra time as a district, 13 days specifically, to utilize time to learn and work through the the training within Canvas and other programs so they can be proficient come August 24th, and I know they will. I have a lot of faith in them, and we've got amazing staff here.
I think you got one more question.
This is just for information. I would just like to know how many students are enrolled this year, what are the class sizes, and how many teachers do we have?
Let me just pull up the current numbers. They are way down from last year at this point, and that's district-wide. And come the first week of school, we'll get a true indication of how many kids are going to be there. But right now, we're looking at 102 students at the elementary school, 78 students at the middle school, 93 students at the high school. And right now, there are 22 students that that were at Sandy Valley last year that were expected to, or are expected to come back this year, but they haven't registered yet. And so unless they're registered online, we don't consider them in that group of students that are enrolled. So again, there's 22 that are waiting to enroll. So we're anticipating starting the year with a total of close to 300, which is less again than last year, but we'll see how numbers are come first week of school when you know everybody shows up and wants to register the students, which is pretty standard anywhere. Clark County School District, a lot of times there are parents that do wait till the last minute to get that done for whatever reason. So right now, it's not a strong predictor of how many students we have. Again, we have to wait for that first week of school to get a real number on what it's going to look like for the year.
And then she asked about how many teachers who we have and approximately what our average class size would be.
Okay, so our class size vary. I don't have that information on hand. I can tell you that the biggest class sizes we had were in middle school, and 23 was the largest class, and then the next largest class was 18. Now, this is PE aside. I'm not counting PE because that's an elective class, but we always focus on the core areas, English, math, science, and social studies. And so we're looking at an average class size. I'm just guessing at this point, but it's going to be less than 15 total. As far as teachers, we have a little over 30 licensed teachers. We have three of them that are out of the classroom. Their roles are called learning strategists, and their sole job is to offer support to teachers the way administration does. But theirs is only in instruction and supporting and guiding teachers in what they're doing in the classroom, specifically with kiddos. But we don't anticipate a change again in numbers, because I want to make sure that we utilize any monies that we do have available to keep all our staff there. There is one position last year that I'm not going to fill. That teacher did retire, and it was a teacher that, since I've been there, which was last year, they never showed up to work. They were on leave the entire time, and so we made some changes in that position at the elementary level. And I'm just not going to hire for that position because we don't need to. It was for a humanities position, but I did hire another teacher into that position. But again, we're still minus one, and we're very comfortable moving forward with that position because it's not needed. We can use that money for, again, to save positions and supplies for students.
Okay, we all think that's it. Nobody else? I think we're good.
Okay, great. If y'all think of any questions or you speak out from someone in the community, just give the school a call or you can reach me via email. My email address is on the sandyschool.com website. Or just give the school a call and they'll send a message to me the next 5 or 6 days that I do have to stay quarantined at home. But I'm still working, I promise you that. and we're still doing the things we need to do. So with that said, if there's no other questions, I appreciate your all's time, and thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, since we're done with that, Shauna, do you have anything for us?
No, not at all.
Okay, then I think we're done with that. We got you out of the way. We don't have anything for planning and zoning. Really don't have anything for general business. So we're going to open it up to comments by the general public. Please, let's keep it to 3 minutes. Anyone want to make a comment?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that's a remarkable system they have there. We could hear a question from all the way back here.
Yeah, that's why I kept repeating. I wasn't quite sure how well my mic worked, and apparently it works all right. So
yeah, that's incredible.
I'm pretty excited about that.
What I wanted to say was, just to update people on something, there was a big controversy about the past 5 or 6 or 7 years on no-paw farms, about the marijuana farm in the middle of the residential neighborhood. That's been all resolved. There's no more no-paw. They had a fire there. They had indoor grow, and they had a ceiling fire from the wiring. Anyway, it looked like it was abandoned, so an investor came along and bought it, and they're not there anymore, so there won't be any more marijuana farm in the middle of the residential neighborhood. Plans are to convert it back to RE from C2, subdivide it into 2 individual residential houses and sell it that way as regular residence. So that's what's going on there.
Okay, good job. Thank you. Anyone else? Nobody else want to make a comment? I'm going to close it then. Okay, we have a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Okay, next meeting will be September 8th. Meeting adjourned.